Hello, this is the October 24th, 2022 KPFK Finance Committee. I'm going to take roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron? Doug Barnett?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Sue Cohen Johnson? Dan McCrory?
Here.
Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Raymond Goldstone? Michael Heiss? Dave Johnson? Steve Kaiser? I am here. John Markowitz? King Riley?
I'm here.
Lauren Treyes? Janine Roan? Janine Roan?
Janine Roan's here.
Bruce Strauss?
Here.
Is here.
Okay. Stefan Gunton?
Here.
All right. Let me mark Michael Heiss. All right, we have quorum. I'm not finished.
John Wenger.
Did I call him? John Wenger. Interim GM Michael Novick.
I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to make a chair's report. I want to report a motion that was passed by the PNB. Motion on confidentiality of financial documents. Resolved that the only financial documents that can be shared with the public are the 990s filed with the IRS, the final audits, the monthly profit and loss statements, and unit budgets. And that for the purposes of these financial documents, the public is anyone not on the PNB, treasurers or station general managers or business managers. I also want to say there's been some controversy about the treasurer position. I believe you are all familiar with the situation and my appeal to the PNB about the violations of even reasonable procedure. It is unfortunate that Wynn Pacifica is in such financial distress, which I have been warning about for a decade, that some people choose to spend their time on internal power plays. Competency has long been reviled in Pacifica. Grace, Fred, and Ken dominated this committee for 4.5 years and did no oversight to the point
of complete
collapse of complete collapse of KPFK by 2020. It is justice that Grace now has appointed herself to be the one to start the Donner Party for real and start choosing which assets to sell just for Pacifica to survive another day on life support. I know this sounds harsh, nevertheless, the historical record shows that certain people should never be near finances. I'm resigning as chair after you select a chair pro tem. I will take nominations.
I nominate Grace. This is Beth.
Grace?
I
nominate. I'd like to nominate Jonathan Markowitz. He has a long history with the finances of KPFK and Pacifica. And isn't in any camp in the last 30 years.
Okay, I don't know if he's here.
He'll show up.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Bella DeSoto nominates herself.
Okay.
Chair.
Yes.
Dave Johnson here, just joining the call.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else join the call?
Kim?
Yes.
Yeah, Kim, this is John Wenger. I just joined the call.
Okay. So we're doing an election for Chair Pro Tem. Wenger. So I have nominations for Grace, John Markowitz, and Bella.
Point the question, whatever kind of point it is, please.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
somebody
please mute.
Please mute if you're not speaking.
I presume that the person elected will serve until December when normal.
I have no idea. It's up to them. It's up to the committee.
This is
Sue Cohen Johnson. Sue Cohen Johnson is on the call.
Thank you.
Could Fred be recognized?
Yes, Fred.
This is an election for a chair pro tem. That's just for this meeting, not for any additional meetings.
The committee can decide what they want to do. Are we ready to vote?
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Go ahead.
What Fred has just stated is correct. That is the rule.
I don't care. That's fine. Bella, it doesn't matter.
To the body. It's not up to the body. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're to the stack.
Yes.
Is it okay? I mean, I don't know procedure, but is it allowable that we have an election when it's not announced ahead of time? Or
yes.
I don't know procedure.
Yes. Chair pro tem, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're ready to vote.
I have one question or
okay.
request, please.
Okay.
I would think it would be helpful for those who are nominated to give a short 2 minutes. I've got my stopwatch here. Statement about why they believe that they should be elected.
Okay.
Agree.
Okay. Unfortunately, Markowitz isn't here yet, so I don't know.
Doug, may I be recognized?
Yes, Doug.
Yeah, since the election we're having is only apparently good for this meeting, I'll withdraw the nomination. It serves no purpose. Jonathan has a larger view than one meeting. Thank you.
Okay. We ready to vote? Okay, Grace, would you like to speak?
Okay, I think people know me from this committee and other committees. this role, this chairmanship is for until new officers are elected in mid-December, and I feel that I can do a fair job and am willing to put the time and effort into it that this committee deserves and needs. That's all.
Go ahead, Bella.
Yes. Did we not just clarify that the pro tem is only for this meeting?
You're speaking as to your candidacy. You can deal with that after, Bella.
Well, as a point of information, I would like to be clear on that.
We're having candidate statements right now. I don't know the answer to that. I don't care, Bella. Y'all can work it out.
Okay. Yes, I self-nominated myself as a bookkeeper, longtime bookkeeper. I believe I have accounting acumen, and I would like to put it to work, and most of you know me. Thank you.
Okay, Doc, we're ready to vote.
Doug, may I have the floor?
Yes.
Is there any chance for others to ask questions of the nominees?
Okay. Anybody object to that?
Bella, object.
Do we need to take a vote?
Nah, forget it.
Why can't we ask questions?
Well, let's take a vote. Okay, we're going to vote on asking questions. Grace, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Ken, how do you vote? Not present. Doug Barnett?
Yes.
Fred Blair?
I abstain.
Sue Cohen Johnson?
Yes.
Dan McCrory?
Yeah.
Bella DeSoto?
Sure, why not? I'm not the bad
boy. Raymond Goldstone?
Here.
Michael Heiss?
Yes.
Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson votes yes.
Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman, pass. John Markowitz?
Yes.
Not here. Markowitz,
yes,
is
I
here.
Am.
Okay. All right. King Riley?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes? Not here. Janine Rowan?
Yes.
Okay, Ruth Strauss?
Yes, and now that Jonathan is here, can he make a candidate statement or at least accept the nomination? Thank you.
Beth Von Gunten?
Yes.
And
yes.
John Wenger? Wenger? Well, at any rate, it's... We have overwhelming yes. So that a pass. Jonathan, Doug Barnett, we're doing an election for chair pro tem, and Doug Barnett nominated you, and then he withdrew it because you hadn't gotten here yet. Would you like to accept the nomination to be chair pro tem of this committee?
Pro tem would be for how long? Until what?
I don't know. I'm not sure. There's some controversy, either until December or until the next meeting. So
I'm sorry, but I would not be able to. I have too many other commitments.
Okay,
thank you.
Fine. Okay.
Very sorry.
All right. So who would like to be on the stack for asking questions?
Doug here.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I've served on this committee for at least a full decade, and this is to Grace. This committee has very little, if anything, to do with programming. Can you tell the committee how much you will bring programming into the discussion? That was really irritating for the time you served.
Pardon me, I don't understand the question. Irritating for the time I served. Can you explain that to me?
The issue of programming is not in this committee. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
No.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Yes, Mike.
Go ahead.
Both Beth and Bella, over time, have raised objections and whatever to the current chair. In 60 seconds, can you say what you would do differently as chair?
Who
is this? Let's let Bella take that first.
No,
Grace, you take that. He addressed it to Beth and Bella.
Well, anybody who's running, not to any one particular person.
It's Grace and Bella, Michael.
There you go.
Yeah, not Beth.
Okay.
All right, girls, got to figure it out. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I will try my best to be as civil as possible, run the meeting by Robert's Rules of Order, allow the minority on the committee to have a voice while getting work done for the entire committee.
Janine, to the staff?
Just point of clarification, that's not different than the way I tried to run this committee. So he's asking what you would do differently. Janine, go ahead. Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry.
Since Janine had a say, it's appropriate for Bella to have a say.
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead, Bella.
That wasn't Janine, if we can clarify that. That was Grace.
What was Grace?
No, it was Grace that you're correct. That Grace had a say and Bella.
I thought Janine asked for a point of order or information. Okay, well, let's try and keep one person at a time. Go ahead, Bella.
I want to hear Janine first, please. Thank you.
Janine, we're taking questions from Michael Height. It's your turn to answer, Bella. Janine was reminding me that I didn't let you speak. So now it's your turn to speak.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm.
So I propose that my intention is not only to run the meeting according to Robert's rules, but I must remind the body that we have a set of bylaws. And our bylaws overshadow Robert's rules when appropriate. So we have to consider our bylaws first and then Robert's rules. And often the opposite is done. So, and I am a fair. If somebody can mute so I can speak. Thank you. And I am a fair person, and I like to give everyone a fair chance, an opportunity for expression, which is very, very important in committees. And this is what has been lacking. And I do not run a committee as a dictator. Thank you. And I have accounting acumen. And that's it. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Janine, please.
Go ahead, Janine.
Okay, well, first, the only reason I spoke up before is that Michael Heiss used my name instead of Grace's name. I think he just got mixed up. So I was clarifying it for the record. I'd like to hear from both the candidates on what their thoughts are about the protocols that have been used in this meeting, when muting, there's recent protocols from the LSB that, against California corporate code, allows for muting. And within the governance committee, there's been efforts to reverse it. So I'd like to hear from both the candidates on that, and as well as whether the meetings, if they continue for November and December, whether they would be conducting them, open to conducting them by Zoom. Thank you.
Who wants to go
okay,
first?
Okay, I will take that. It is true that the California Corporations Code, you say that everybody has to be able to be heard and to hear in a meeting. That is true. However, the National Board took this up a number of years ago because a violation of that can be on the reverse side. So in other words, there were disruptions of National Board meetings where extremely loud music was played, where people yelled and screamed to the point where the meeting could not continue. This has happened on and off in Pacifica. So if people in the meeting, either members or non-members, make it impossible for people to be heard and impossible for anybody to hear anything, then it becomes an interesting situation. It's you're wrong if you go on one side, and you're wrong and if you go on the other. So in order to have the business of the organization continue, these muting has to be used with discretion. If there is some such disruption that the meeting cannot continue, then I would say that people have to be muted. You can't allow a small number of people to disrupt a meeting so that it can't go on. However, on the other hand, when muting is used indiscriminately and at the whim of the chair or whoever, just to prejudicially silence certain perspectives, I'm against that. So it's a matter of judgment. And I believe that the newest version of Robert's Rules of Order goes into this in detail. That's all.
Bella?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to take the second part of Janine's question. I have a motion for a number of months on this agenda that has not been attended to, and that is to start holding these meetings via a video platform. So I hope that we can get to it today. The first part of her question is regarding the muting issue, and I have been a major recipient indiscriminately. It has been used indiscriminately against myself and another individual in this committee.
Point of personal privilege, I'm sorry. Can we mute the person who is doing the personal noises?
No attacks. Please mute if you're not speaking, everyone.
No, there's someone that's doing it on purpose. So
you
I
don't
think it's
know
really
that.
Disrespectful.
We don't cast aspersions on intentions, Janine. I've asked people to mute if they're not speaking. Go ahead, Bella.
Thanks, Janine, for that. I noticed that, too. So, like I said before, I tried to run a meeting in a fair manner where everyone can be heard and bring out the important issues for discussion. When I pro-tempt for barely 3-4 months, I was constantly interrupted by two individuals, and I was not allowed, permitted to conduct business as I should have. I was interrupted with all kinds of issues and points of orders. I know that was done deliberately, and that cannot be allowed and tolerated. And I would like to incorporate as a standard to have the parliamentarian present at every meeting so that this very important committee can conduct this business. Thank you very much.
Okay. I would just like to clarify for the record the difference between the motion that the LSB approved and Robert's rules is a change.
Can I call for a vote?
No, great. Janine, I'm speaking right now. Thank you. Janine, I am speaking. In Robert's rules, it has basically the same procedure. After three warnings, it asks the offending member to leave the meeting. The language in Robert's updated leave the meeting for telephonic meetings to mute. That is the only difference.
Call for orders of the day.
Just for clarity. Anybody else want to ask questions? No other questions. Okay, we ready to vote? I hear no objections. Grace, how do you vote?
I vote for myself.
Ken, how do you vote? Not here. Doug Barnett.
DeSoto.
Brett Blair, how do you vote?
Grace Aaron.
Duco and Johnson.
Well, for Grace. Did you hear
Dan McCrory. Dan McCrory.
Grace.
Bella DeSoto.
Bella DeSoto.
Raymond Goldstone. Michael Heiss.
Grace.
Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson votes for Grace.
Steve Kaiser. Not present. I abstain. John Markowitz.
Pass.
King Riley.
Grace Aaron.
Lawrence Reyes. Janine Roan.
I vote for Bella.
Bruce Strauss.
Abstain.
Beth Van Gunten.
Grace.
And Wenger.
I vote for Zoom and Bella.
Okay. 8 to 4 to 2 abstentions. There you go. You got
point
it, Grace.
Of information.
There was a pass. What?
There was a pass.
Who?
Yeah.
I never heard a pass.
Jonathan Markowitz.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Markowitz, how do you vote?
Abstain.
All right. There you go. Okay.
How many abstentions, okay. Madam Chair?
One more than when I counted a minute ago, Bella.
How much is that?
Go ahead, Grace.
That's three abstentions.
Thank you,
Bella.
Grace.
Okay, now we're going to go on to with the agenda. Kim sent it out before the meeting, earlier this afternoon. The first thing is the chair reported a motion from the National Finance Committee. I think that is self-explanatory. Are there any questions about that motion? I'll read it. It's rather short. Resolved that the only financial documents that can be shared with the public are the 990s filed with the IRS, the final audits, the monthly profit and loss statements, and unit budgets, and that for the purpose of these financial documents, the public is anyone not on the PNB, treasurers or station general managers or business managers. Any questions about that policy?
Yes, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized, Madam Chair?
Okay.
Thank you, and congratulations. Yes, I fully object. Finance committees, and I learned today that only KPFK and WBAI provide aged accounts payable. This is unbelievable to their finance committee, and this finance committee is in need of continued accounts aging, accounts payable reports, balance sheets, and a trial balance. And that's what we need. And I will continue requesting that. It has been for years now. So I disagree with the mean spirit of this motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask a question of Beth Van Gunten and Kim Kaufman, who were in the NFC meetings, I assume, when this motion was adopted. Does this include fund drive reports? Is fund drive information not allowed to be shared with public? And other up-to-the-minute financial information, such as new aged payables, new income, different things like that, are those no longer in the purview of the local finance committee?
I'll speak to that.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
The age payables are not included. Fund drive, I mean, you can report basic information, what it's doing, and I don't know. That didn't come up. It hasn't been a problem so far. And what were the
okay.
other stuff? I think the other stuff doesn't really make sense. So I don't know what you're talking about with the other stuff, Grace.
Okay, I'll tell this body that as treasurer, I, along with Beth von Gunten, who is the KKK director on the National Finance Committee, will ask these questions in the next National Finance Committee meeting to get clarification of these things, because I personally think it's important for us to have up-to-the-minute fund drive information and other information that we may want to digest and consider as a committee. And that's all for now. Moving on, I'd like to request a timekeeper.
This is Mike. I'm happy to assume my normal role. Just let me know the parameters, please.
Okay, I believe it's, let's say, 90 seconds per person.
You got it.
Okay, also, can you keep the time for the agenda items? They're on the agenda themselves.
Sure.
Okay, good. Now, somebody, can everyone mute? There's a lot of feedback. I don't know where that's coming from. Fred, can you figure out where that's coming from?
I'm trying to. I just muted somebody temporarily, a guest.
Okay. There's still a great deal of feedback. Okay, that's better. All right. Next thing is agenda approval. Are there any additions, corrections to the agenda as sent out earlier today?
Go ahead. We've elected a chair pro tem for this meeting. We need to elect a permanent chair meeting till the end of the year for this committee. Yet today. Today's our chance to do that, so that we convene next month with a known chair in place.
Okay. All right, so we have to go through the process of finding a teller and having an email election. Is that what you're saying?
I thought there was going to be someone else here to bring forward that motion, and that person isn't here. I'll contact the teller now to see if he would be available to conduct an election. It might be worth asking whether the committee itself would be willing to conduct this election live and in person, or whether we need to go into the process of setting up a remote.
Point of order.
Yes, is that Michael Heiss?
Yes, the item that's under discussion at the moment is approve the agenda.
Yeah, Beth is wanting to add an item to the agenda, Michael.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Beth, why don't we discuss this after item 6, report from IGM?
Okay.
Perhaps
okay.
The person you had in mind will come on the meeting, and then we can take it from there, all right? So that'll be item 6A. Election of permanent chair. All right. So now, any other changes to the agenda? All right, hearing none. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing nothing from anyone. The agenda is approved. So we're going to go on to the next agenda item, which is approved minutes from September 28th. You all received those early this afternoon. Are there any adjustments or corrections to the minutes from September 28th?
Point of order, Chair. This is Jonathan. I never received the agenda or the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay. Fred, can you forward that email that Kim sent out to Jonathan?
It'll take a couple of minutes, but I'll do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do have to the agenda from Kim Coffin, but, and so it does have the minutes as well. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to approving?
This is Jenny.
Bella to the staff.
If I can be recognized.
Okay. This is about the minutes. Janine, you wanted to talk about the minutes? Okay, go ahead, Janine.
I feel on the second page, it talks about you moving for it to be noted in the minutes about Bella. And that whole interaction, I don't want to draw this out, but there was more to it than you just moving for her to be, muted and all that sort of thing. I objected. There was a back and forth. And I feel like this is one-sided for the minutes to only reflect that portion of it. So I would like to see that portion of the minutes just taken out. We have a fresh start here, and I think it would be nice to just eliminate it or include all the other things that happened at that time.
Okay. Okay, one second, Kim. Janine, if you wish to go back to the audio of that meeting and send this committee an addition to the minutes, that would be acceptable. But other than that, it was an actual action that occurred in the meeting. We cannot remove that action. That happened. It was voted on, I believe. We can't extract that, but additional information could be added to those minutes if this body approves it in the next meeting. Is there any objection to – so you need to come back with some text added to those minutes.
Yeah,
and we'll take that up at the next meeting. But
I could add to it now if you like. I would just like a sentence added at the beginning then.
Okay. What can you send that in writing to this body?
Sure.
Janine, can you read it?
Okay. Bella, don't speak out of turn, please. Janine, let me know when.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the email thread of the minutes so that I can send it in the same one. Just give me a moment. Can we come back to this? I don't want to hold up the meeting.
Yeah, good. Okay, is there any objection to the minutes?
Bella?
We can change the minutes in the future, but as mailed out by Kim, is there any objection?
Bella is on the stack to speak to this.
Okay, go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. So I object to myself being singled out. There was no action taken. In fact, Janine stepped in and she asked you, Grace, that because I was asking if Doug Barnett had been called on the roll call. And Kim, instead of responding to me, asked me to be quiet. I asked again if he had been called on the roll call. And again, and then you stepped in and you asked for me to be muted. And Janine Ron stepped in and she argued. And you warned Janine Ron that she too should be muted. So what has happened here is that this is a continual effort to single me out. Okay? And this is not the first time this happened.
Okay, I hear you, Bella. Okay. This is an entirely different scenario than what's stated in the minutes. I'm going to take a vote on approving these minutes as they were sent out. Then they can be
Chair, I have to be recognized. This is Kim.
Okay,
and
I didn't hear you.
And I sent the email with a sentence that I was mentioning.
Okay. All right, we'll go to Kim and then Janine. Go ahead, Kim.
I listened to the meeting last night in order to do the minutes, and none of what either Janine or Bella says is accurate.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
I put
all
them
right.
there
you...
exactly as it happened.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Ruth, to the staff.
Okay. Just a moment. Okay. I'll put you on the stack after Janine. Janine sent an email saying, Bella interrupts the chair if Doug Barnett if had been called on the roll call vote, I guess to ask. Grace moves for, quote, it should be noted in the minutes that Bella continually speaks without being recognized, speaks out of turn. If she does this, okay, so what Janine wants to add is Bella interrupts the chair, I guess, to ask if Doug Barnett had been called on the roll call vote. Okay.
This is Kim.
Okay. After Ruth, I'll recognize you. Janine, this is the sentence that you wanted in here. Bella interrupts the chair to ask if Doug Barnett had been called on a roll call vote. On the roll,
correct.
Okay, good. Okay, Ruth, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to have Janine. I'm not where I can look at an email, so if she could read what she wanted into the minutes, and I did not listen to the transcript or whatever, the audio of the meeting, but as I recall, that was the way things happened. Thank you.
Okay,
Janine could
go ahead
and read her sentence.
Okay,
that would be great.
Okay, good. Kim?
The issue is not what Bella said. The issue is that she had interrupted and spoken without being recognized previous to this multiple times during this meeting. That is why Grace made this motion.
Madam Chair,
okay.
Will you hear from the public before you take this vote? Madam Chair, will you hear from the public before you take a vote on approving the agenda, the minutes?
Okay, we can take a couple of public people here at this time.
At points of information, we're over time on this item.
Yeah, we're over time on this item.
Jonathan,
okay.
On the stack.
Okay, First, we'll take Mr. Tatum. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Thank you. Yeah. As far as the minutes are concerned, they can be amended. Now, someone attempted to amend the minutes by striking out something, some section. A vote should have been taken. Now, that same member is attempting to add something to the minutes. And that also will take a majority vote. So that's the point that you're at now. The minutes can be dispensed with, which means they could be read later on in a meeting when everybody has gotten their additions or deletions together. But the minutes are to be corrected until you have finished with correcting them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. I believe Jonathan Markowitz, and this is going to be the last person I call on for this agenda item. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you, Chair. My question about what Janine forwarded.
Yes.
I see here that Janine wants to add a sentence to the beginning that regarding Doug Barnett have been called on the roll call vote. Now, am I correct? Is that the only addition that Janine wants? And the second part of what Janine forwarded, where it says Grace moves for, quote, it to be noted in the minutes that Bella continually speaks without being recognized, et cetera, unquote. Janine, is Janine asking for that portion to be removed from the meeting or, from the minutes?
No, she's
or,
not.
Okay.
No, she's not. She's just asking for this one sentence
Barnett
to be included. Okay, now, is there
Thank
any objection
you.
To Okay, is there any objection to adding this sentence that Janine is suggesting? Bella interrupts the chair to ask if Doug Barnett has been called on a roll call vote. Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
Being added.
An objection to what Janine wants to add? Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Any other objections? Okay, hearing none, as will the, your objection will be noted in the minutes. Other than that, we will add that one.
Bella, Bella objects to the original portion on the minutes. I want that to be on the minutes.
Okay, that will be in the minutes for today's meeting. Okay, any objection to approving the minutes as amended?
Bella objects.
Okay. All right. Your objection will be noted, Bella. Any other objections to the minutes being approved? All right. Hearing none, the minutes.
Well, I want to object because I want to, excuse me, I want to object because I don't agree to adding that sentence. So.
Okay. Very good. So we'll take a vote. This is on the minutes. As amended, to add the sentence that Janine wanted to add. So we're going to vote on whether to accept these minutes from the last meeting as amended by Janine in this meeting. So Ken Aaron, Doug Barnett, yes or no? We're taking a vote. Doug? All right. Fred Blair?
No.
Okay. Sue Johnson? Sue Johnson? Dan McCrory?
Yes.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Okay. Raymond Goldstone? Michael Heiss?
I apologize. I had to take another call. Just please briefly, what are we voting on?
We're voting on accepting the minutes as amended by Janine.
Fine.
Okay. Dave Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
No.
Kim Kaufman? Okay. Kim Kaufman? Kim?
Oops, sorry, I was on mute. No.
Okay. Jonathan Markowitz?
Yes.
Okay. King Riley?
No.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes? Janine Roan?
Yes.
Okay. Ruth Strauss?
Yes.
Okay. Beth Von Gunten?
No.
Okay. John Wenger?
Abstain.
All right, so I'll count it up. Oh, going back.
Dave Johnson would like to change his vote.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
I want to change to no. Sorry, I got mixed up. No on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Would I, Mike, I'd also like to change to no. I was also distracted.
Okay, all right. So going back, we have Doug Barnett.
Yes.
Okay. Sue Cohn Johnson. Sue, are you there? Okay. No, Sue's not there. Lawrence Reyes. All right. We'll count it up then. And we have six yes. Seven no's, and okay.
Chair, may I be recognized?
So I will vote. Let's see. I will vote. I will abstain. Okay. So these minutes are, there are now two abstentions.
Hello, Lawrence here.
Okay, we are voting on whether well, it's too late now. Came, these minutes are not approved. Okay, so I would entertain a motion to delay approval of these minutes till the next meeting.
Point of order, please. Can you hear me? This is Sue.
Yes, Sue. Yeah. Did you want to vote on this?
I think Maestro muted me. I could, no matter what I did, I couldn't get back. And I abstain.
Okay. All right.
This is Kim. This is Kim. Okay. May I be recognized?
Okay. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I think the issue is that, I mean, you should ask people why they voted no. And if it was more, I mean, I'm objecting because I don't want Janine's addition in there because it's not accurate. And I don't know if that's why other people voted no. But if they voted no, we need to know what it will take to approve them.
Is this worth
Madam Chair, can I recognize?
Okay.
Sue, what does Tatum say? What does Tatum say on this?
Okay. I am the chair. John Tatum is not the chair. It's my prerogative to run the meeting. We will discuss this. We can add this item to the bottom of the agenda, or we can take it up. We're out of time for this agenda item. If somebody wants to take this up any further in this meeting, they can request that we add time, which will take a two-thirds vote. Otherwise, let's get on with the business at hand.
Please.
Okay, hearing no no request for extension of time, we're going to move on to the rest of the agenda. The next thing on the agenda is report from the interim general manager. Is the interim general manager present?
Yes.
Okay, Michael, you want to give us a report?
Okay. Well, if we're still in the fund drive, this is the 22nd day of the fund drive. It started October 4th. It's going to run until at least October 31st. There's some discussion going on about whether to extend it into November. Up to this point today, it's raised about $94,000, which means that it's raising about $4,300 a day on average. It still isn't raised. There's an amount principally Sojourn of Truth, which has raised in and of itself about between a sixth and a fifth, about, you know, somewhere about, say, 18% of all the money in the fund drive with that show. The other shows that have raised some significant money are mainly the music programs, which are raising it over the course of 2 hours as opposed to a single hour. So that's a factor to take into effect and to account. The other one that raised a good amount of money was the report to the listener that was done earlier in the fund drive. And so to me, this reflects the fact that the current model of trying to raise money through repeated, frequent, and lengthier air fund drives is failing. It's not raising enough money really to sustain the operations of the station. And I think it reflects, I heard Doug Barnett say, he doesn't want to talk about programming, but it reflects the fact that our current program, our current audience, and our current model of raising the funds with on-air pledge drives is failing, and that we have to find other ways to raise the money, other ways to attract listeners, and probably refresh our programming to do that. So we are looking at some other methods of raising money off air. Jim left and I developed an appeal letter
that we're getting some signatures on that would go out to movement organizations, civic groups, community organizations, labor, and faith-rooted organizations to try to seek their assistance in appealing to their own membership base to become members of KPFA. That's one effort. We were looking into the fact that the Allegiance platform that we use to process our donations does have a component to conduct online auctions. That would be a way to raise some funds by getting... Sorry, there's a lot of static and noise in this line. I don't know where it's coming from. Online donations, donations of goods and services that could be, bid upon online or sold at a consignment rate. We had originally started in the LSB fundraising committee a proposal for something called bidding for good. And then when I assumed this position, I started to look at the capabilities of Allegiance. That is one of them. But when we looked into it further, apparently it's a module that we don't currently have on our among the the aspects of the platform that we have access to. There are also peer to peer module which we don't have access to. So we're looking at that again. I think we might go back to the question of bidding for good and the platform it's associated with. To see about that or to compare what it would cost for that as compared to Allegiance and what the effectiveness or reach of the platform would be. The idea of the one that we first looked at is that many nonprofits use it widely and that the membership of all those other nonprofits would have access to the auctions that we put up so that it would both be an outreach method to make more people aware of KPFK or also increase the size of the potential bidder pool and increase the value of the things we offered. We are continuing to get some car donations, not in a very rapid stream, but they continue to come in and get reports every week from them. The other off-air fundraising effort that we're making currently is that I have been calling, and I believe the ED has also been calling some of our, people have made substantial donations. We did get a few additional checks on that basis above and beyond the fund drives and also just updated some information. We're trying to do more what's called, stewardship of our donor base, but let them know that we appreciate the support they've given us and, get in touch with them, thank them. Indicate that we're open to their ideas and proposals. And I've gotten some others, such as somebody who is having already made some substantial donations, but is willing to make their home available for events. We did have a meeting that Lawrence Reyes arranged with SEIU 721 with myself and the ED and are pursuing that relationship. They were very receptive to us and invited us to attend their assembly, which is coming up this Saturday. We'll have a table at that and after the kind of general statement about, KPFK's affinity with, working people and labor. And we think that, that's the basis of following it up with other labor organizations. And, I'm not going to go into programming because, as I said, that's not the purview of this committee, but I think it is vital that we develop some programming that has, more appeal and that attracts new audiences and builds up the base. I think we've, the basic saying is if you can't go to the same well again and not expect it to run dry. We've tapped people out. I think that even our faithful listeners. I do not have current financials. I think that the national business manager, Markeisha, says to the National Finance Committee that she's been too busy fielding, people owed money, not on so many stations by Pacifica. And so I don't have any documents to present as far as that. I did ask James Baggerton a couple of times to see if the National Finance Committee had done anything further with the budget for this current fiscal year, started October 1st, and I have not received a reply. You'll remember that the local station, where the finance committee and the local state board did not accept the budget that was presented because it was a deficit budget and recommended changes in both sides of the ledger, so to speak, reduction in expenses as needed, particularly in payroll, which is one of the main expenses, and also different efforts to increase income through off-air fundraising methods. So I have been working on that aspect of it, and we did have a meeting with the union regarding the question of our capacity to maintain the payroll that we have. And we're trying to take some steps to deal with that. Probably can't go into any further than that. We are in a position to make payroll for the end of the month. The checks will go out on the 31st, but I believe that the ED is planning to issue a letter to staff indicating the great difficulty that we're having and the possibility that we might not be able to. This will be Pacifica-wide. It's not just a question of our station. There are a number of units that are falling short of capacity to pay for the staff that they currently have across the foundation. So everybody who works at KPFK is not a separate nonprofit entity or operation of its own. We are Pacifica Foundation Incorporated, DBA, doing business as KPFK, and all the other units, the same thing, KPFA, PFW, and so on. So the payroll is the payroll of the foundation. And it's a little bit of an open question as to the capacity to continue to meet the payroll that the foundation has. And that's being dealt with at a national level. Although we did, as I say, raise enough money between the fund drive, the car, the KPFK auto, and the phone calling to meet our payroll here at KPFK this month. I'm sorry?
Continue, Michael. Just continue.
Well, that is about it. Whatever the last thing I was going to say was out of my mind there for a second.
Okay. Very good, Michael.
I was going to say one other thing. We got a lot of support from Greg Palast, and this ranges over into the programming, but I did obtain, I contacted the Real News Network, which distributes and produces Chris Hedges' new show, the Chris Hedges Report, because we know that he stopped On Contact and we did not have the capacity that was thought to pay for it, but they're providing it for free. And they also asked for contact with the rest of the Pacifica stations, which I gave them. And they suggested that he would be available to come on a book tour as a benefit for the stations. And so we're going to pursue that. Greg Palast has a film out, and he arranged to make tickets available for a showing that's happening tomorrow night, which was a very popular item. And he's going to make the film itself available for a benefit showing for KPFK at some point, probably in November.
Thank you, Michael. Before I take a stack, it's for questions from Michael. Let me tell Michael Heiss, the timekeeper, that this agenda item started at 7:59 p.m.
No, I have a separate stopwatch for this. So.
Oh, okay, very good.
Taking
very
care
good.
Of
okay,
Chair,
very
this
good.
Is Raymond Goldstone. I've been on the call.
for about 15 minutes, but I didn't want to interrupt Michael.
Okay, thank you, Raymond. I've noted that you're here. Okay, so now I'll take a stack for questions for Michael.
Jonathan, this is
Dave Johnson.
Okay, Dave Johnson, good. Who else? Anyone
Michael.
Else for the stack?
The other Michael.
Okay.
Jonathan on the stack.
Okay, yeah, I heard you. I heard you, Jonathan. Okay, we'll start there.
Bella,
Jonathan Markowitz. Okay, Bella. I have you listed. Jonathan Markowitz, go ahead. Questions from Michael. Go ahead.
Yes. My understanding of the corporate structure of Pacifica is that all of the money raised by each of the signal areas is actually Pacifica Foundation income. What I don't understand is that, I mean, comparatively in the past, my knowledge goes back 35 years, not in great detail, but that stations that were doing well, that money was used to cover for the stations that were struggling, and this was sort of like a kind of a round-robin thing. It wasn't always the same stations that were struggling and vice versa. And all of a sudden, what I see is KPFA specifically obfuscating their income and designated it only, pretty much only for KPFA, with a few exceptions that were ordered by the National Board most recently, I think. I find this unacceptable, and you just mentioned this, Michael, in regards to another issue just presented as far as the actual income. As far as I can see, KPFA's income is obscured. I don't trust the numbers coming from it. They're running a closed shop in terms of financial accountability. This is unacceptable, and we must take action to stop this, and that money should be made available to cover at least a month or two, if not more, of staff.
Okay. Okay, Jonathan. Michael, do you want to comment on that?
So the history of Pacifica has been that the stations raise money for their own operations and pay a portion of what they raise in what are called central services to the Foundation for the National Office expenses, which include, accounting services, legal services, dealing with, various national obligations and so on. Historically, that was set at a certain percentage of the money that was raised at a station from listener support. And that has not been working very well, especially the last several years. There is no station at this point that is actually operating fully in the black. KPFA has had some reverses and is not necessarily meeting all its own expenses. As I said, there were a number of units this month that did not seem like they would be able to make their payroll. We were one of them, but in fact, we were able to. And in previous months, we've had to borrow money from other units, I believe at least once from KPFA, once or twice from the National Office, once or twice from the Pacific Affiliates Unit, which has the income coming in from the various affiliates. So you're right in the sense that there is a single national payroll, that all the payroll is done through the Pacifica National Office. People who get their paychecks are being paid by Pacifica at every one of the stations. The vast majority of the current payroll of Pacifica is at KPFA. We have a much, much smaller staff than we did. There have been reductions over the last 2 years, at least, and I'm aware of, and probably even before that. So that currently there are, many fewer full-time employees here than there were full-time equivalent employees by far. We're still having trouble making that reduced payroll from the money that's raised. We have a long list of unpaid
aging payables that I won't go into, but we owe money for many, many things. We do have a payment plan with Southern California Edison, and there's kind of that's being a fund was set up separately so that can make those payments so we can maintain power of the tower. But overall, it's a single payroll. So if Pacifica can't make its payroll, that will affect the entire payroll, not just the individual stations. So that's the reality of the accounting and the business operations. We have not, I did want to raise this earlier. Last year, when we got the year-end financials, I raised the question about the financial statements that we got to NETA at that time, which was that as I looked at the numbers, it was clear that although overall we were operating at a deficit in terms of incorporating into the budget the central services, which are accrued, even though we were not paying them. But if you took out the central services, we actually had a slight operating surplus. And I did not get a clear answer at that time. As it turns out, Fred Blair tried to pursue that, and somehow I missed the email that he sent around at the time. I found it when I became IGM in a folder that was given to me from the previous GM that had Fred's analysis of the cash flow, which showed basically the same thing I said. So I did raise it to the ED. She took it back to NETA after their departure, essentially, and the information she got was that Fred did a cash flow analysis of the bank account, but that there were other expenses, including bank fees and some other fees. I don't fully accept that, but I have to dig into it more. I do think that probably that money went to cover prior year payables or internal payables that were covered. But at this point, the fundamental fact is we are not covering our operating expenses from the on-air fund drives, and that condition is the same for probably at least four of the five stations, maybe all five stations, and the PRA. The PRA was supposed to have a grant, and it hasn't come through, so that put them in a very tight spot. And the PNO, the Pacifica National Office, can't pay necessarily its expenses because it's not getting the central service payment. So across the entire foundation, it's very touch and go at this point, honestly. The payroll is the highest priority, payroll and benefits. And the ED can say more about that than I can, but it's a problem. And in addition to that, we have the problem of many, many unpaid bills, aged payables, and that includes I asked the membership department to try to incorporate the cost of unfulfilled premiums to understand that that's also an age payable because we have to fulfill that commitment for the listeners. Some of it's in there. I don't know if all of it is, but there are many premiums that we've promised people in previous fund drives.
We're at five for this time.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, Michael. Thank you, Michael, for those. We still have some people on the stack. We have four people on the stack. Okay, we're out of time for this agenda item. If someone wants to extend time.
Move to extend.
Okay, for how long?
15 minutes, Bella.
Okay.
Until the stack is completed. 15 or until the stack is completed.
Okay.
Whichever
right.
comes first.
Okay. Okay, Kim, stop talking. Is there any objection to extending for 15 minutes or to the exhaustion of the current stack? Hearing no objections, we'll move on with the stack. It's closed now.
Janine.
Dave Johnson is next. It's closed.
Janine. Madam Chair.
Janine, I'm not recognizing you.
Okay,
I texted you
to the stack of 10 minutes ago
because
so many people
were
talking.
That's true.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll
add
you. Oh, yeah, I have you on the stack, Janine. I have you on. Okay, now. Yes, I have. The stack is Dave Johnson, Michael Heiss, Bella DeSoto, Janine Roan, and Kim Kaufman, and that's it. So we're going to continue. Dave Johnson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you again, Michael, for taking on this task as IGM. I had difficulty understanding the first couple of things you said, and I'd like you to please repeat the number you gave for the total fund drive dollars been pledged and the daily average. And then I'd just like to ask a couple fast questions about if we've had any staff reductions since our last meeting, if we've added any, if we've added any contractors. Will, it looks like with the pledges that are coming in now, we'll probably make our end of October payroll. I was just wondering how the outlook looked for November based on our other bills. And a total dollar for our accounts payable. And that was it. And I could repeat those in case that was too many questions there. But thank you.
Okay, Michael?
Quickly, the last time I looked, we had $93,605.20 in pledges. It's approximately $4,300 a day. I guess this is not a full day yet today. Today, right now, it's about $2,500 in. Some days we've gotten as high as 6,000 and something, but the average is about 4,300 because Sundays are often less and other days are sometimes less. So I did say that we have raised enough money to meet our October 31st payroll here locally, but it's a problem for the foundation as a whole nationally and still a little up in the air whether Pacifica can meet its entire payroll for the 31st. What else did you ask?
He asked if there were any other changes in staff, I believe.
And if we've added any staff or added any contractors, and how does it look for making the November payroll?
As I said, I think the ED is going to send out a letter to the entire staff today or tomorrow saying that it's questionable as to whether they can make Pacifica can make its payroll as a whole, and we are considering extending this fund drive into November.
Okay, staff changes, Michael? Dave Johnson
the last
asked about
change
that.
I'm aware of, yeah. The last staff change I'm aware of is that Ali Lexa, is now an unpaid staff, left as an employee.
Okay, and also contractors, any contractors added?
No contractors added, and we do owe some money for prior contracts, and that's on the list of aged payables at this point.
Okay, thank you. Next person on the stack is Bella DeSoto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, Michael.
Bella, I'm sorry, Michael, I skipped over you. You can go after Bella, sorry.
Go ahead, Bella.
Okay. So thank you for that report. I know it's tough. I'm concerned about the high numbers for the outside contractors. Very concerned about that because as of September 21, it's a very high number. So is WBAI. That is astronomical. But I'm concerned regarding our payments to national office. I have been pointing out, Madam Chair, can you ask for someone making that noise to stop? Okay. I have been pointing out for quite some time since NETA took over that there has been no accrual at all for the payments due from each unit to the national office. Instead, they have been landing on the P&L as though they have been paid. And that is most deceptive, and it does not give the clear picture of where we are financially, either monthly or yearly. And so you made a good point that if you remove those numbers, we are not looking so bad, are we? However, we still have that payable responsibility. So that should go on the balance sheet, which we never get to see. the same as the payable, the same as accounts receivables, monies that are not paid to us immediately, but they are billed on a monthly basis, or
your time
that they
is expired,
in,
Bella.
Or that they trickle in around the month, and we have to keep track of them. And then finally, I wanted to keep track of the contractors because it sounds to me like you may not know what's going on there. That's my assumption. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bella. Thank you, Bella. Michael, can you please respond?
I'm not aware of any current contractors at KPFK. We did not contract with anyone for the fund drive. We mainly operated with the programmer pitching, where I assisted on some pitching, other people assisted on some pitching, with mostly content and, some premiums, but nothing that required us to write a contract with anyone to provide the premiums or the pitching, and no major big ticket premiums that we have to purchase.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next person on the stack is Michael Heiss.
Thanks. I have just a quick question or clarification, Michael. I understand, and, it's a good thing to be talking to the unions, but I just would like a clarification. Are you looking for any of the unions that you're speaking with to make a donation as the union organization, or to urge support of the unions to encourage their members to join? The latter is great, the former not so much, because just as there's, certainly a contingent of people that object to accepting money from anyone other than a listener, and, no reflection on the unions, but to accept the contribution directly from a union would seem to fly in the face of the, we don't accept money from anybody who's not a listener. Would you clarify that, please?
And Lawrence to the stack, please.
I'll try to answer the best I can. We're seeking donations from people who are willing to donate on the understanding that there's no quid pro quo involved in a donation. They're not underwriting any particular programming or anything on the air. So we are seeking people to urge their members to join. We're also seeking donations. That's not underwriting, in my understanding. It's a charitable donation to a nonprofit.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next is Janine Roan.
Yeah, do you Lawrence? Hello, do you hear me?
I heard you, Lawrence.
Okay.
Lawrence,
all right,
the
sorry.
Stack is closed. If you want to speak, we would have to extend time. So
if
there's
I
there are okay.
A minute or so.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. We have to keep the stack. Next person is Janine Roan.
Hi,
ahead,
thanks.
Janine.
And this is sort of related to something that's on the agenda, the motion to be preparing a budget, or requesting that the National Finance Committee start immediately working towards a budget. I brought this up before where, when you compare our expenses, our administrative expenses and our salaries against WBAI, we're over twice as much. And I know this looks like I'm trying to, figure out how to eliminate, staff there, but I'm very curious what their model is at WBAI. They're urban. They have expenses. They run a station similar, I would imagine. But for some reason, I'm just curious if you're able. I'd like to get a commitment to find out what the differences are, just so that we can have a discussion about it, because it's over 100 $1,000 a month more. And I know everybody's in trouble, but I'd like to see if you could investigate that for us.
Well, I can investigate it. Basically, they had really major layoffs. Twice they laid off the entire news department, and they had another substantial round of layoffs and reduced their staff to a skeleton level. And their analysis, they have never recovered from that. So, but currently they're having problems meeting their current operating expenses as well on their payroll. So I'm not sure what there is to emulate there. I think that there probably will have to be additional staff cuts across the system in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, I can't say more about it here, but
can I have a follow-up, Chair?
I did want to add one other thing earlier to some of the questions that were raised. In terms of this fund drive, we have been having some people come in to answer phones. I did do a training with a bunch of the Spanish language programmers at night to answer their own phones during their programming. And there are three stations set up in what used to be the newsroom with phones that take pledge calls and computers that people can enter the data in directly to Allegiance. And that has been in use during this drive. So we did reduce the call service. We still had to keep it to a certain point for overflow, but we reduced the purchase of what we were expecting to pay them over the course of the fund drive.
Yeah, I have a request for information.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence. What's your request for information?
I didn't really get an answer to my question. I'm just wondering to make a note of that.
Please don't. I have to leave because I have a PNB governance committee. Can I just address something that will take about a minute?
Okay, if there's no objection, let's let Lawrence speak
thank
for a
you,
minute.
Chair.
Go ahead.
And thank you, colleagues. I appreciate it. So the whole idea of I was the one that approached Stephanie and Michael about rebuilding relationships that that we have I've lost with the community. And that's why our audience is so pathetic right now. So instead of talking or coming up with these scenarios about the motives of people, I would encourage the members of this committee to also develop a collaborative relationship and bring in community-based organizations to collaborate in a mutual relationship to rebuild our audience and rebuild our listenership and increase our listenership. That's the whole purpose of having a KPFK table on Saturday morning, and that's the whole purpose is not so much to try for us to get money, but if that happens, that's fine. There's no pick quo quo. There's no act or anything like that. So I just want to be able to clarify that because I think that's one of the things that we are lacking in trying to rebuild our audience and also increase our listenership. So with that, Chair, I thank you for the opportunity to speak. But I have a PNB governance committee to go to, and I'm hoping that you guys will consider changing the time so I don't run into two meetings at one time. Thank you.
Okay. Chair. Thank you, Lawrence. Next, Janine, what was your follow-up question? Quickly.
No, it's just if Michael could find the specifics out of how the model is different than ours. When he says that there's no news department, that had to be cut, we don't have a news department either. So it's what is the double, we have double the cost, and it doesn't need to be now, but I'm hoping that he can commit to trying to figure out what those differences are.
Okay, thank you, Janine. Next on the stack is Kim. You're recognized, Kim.
Okay, Michael, first of all, that deficit that you were talking about, it had to do with the unpaid invoices that Meta found when they came down to KPFK. That was about $200,000 in invoices in a draw. Okay, that's your gap. Plus, the PayPal was hinky, and Meta fixed it. So that's that. The budget, it's not going to happen at National for a long time. All the expenses are just like the budget. You know, they are what they are. The car donations was an accurate budget line item. Revenue, who knows? Personnel, who knows? That's your budget. You know, it's not going to get any different. I mean, central services, they'll get there when they get there, and who knows when that'll be. So that's your question about the budget. And I will say one more time, soliciting $25 memberships is a loser. It costs us more in bank fees, credit card fees, membership and accounting staff than it's worth. It's a negative revenue.
The 15-minute extension has expired.
Okay, well, please, I am not finished. And I have one more thing. I've done a comparison with KPFK and WBAI. Our fixed expenses are equal. Okay, there you go. Oh, one more question. What is the status of the phones, and how are you going to pay for them? There you go.
Hey, Michael?
Quickly, you know, the idea of increasing your membership base at the base level is that people, once they become members, have some skin in the game and some interest in maintaining their membership and can be convinced to, increase their level of support. So that, you know, it might be that it's not a big to have 10,000 more members, although that is, a substantial sum of money coming in the door. But the idea is that those people then will increase their level. On the question of the phones, we did arrange to have the parts necessary shipped here as opposed to flying people here to do it. So that reduced the cost of the repair quite a bit. The parts were installed yesterday. There's still a problem with the network, and that's a bigger problem, and it's, that may still require people to come. I emailed today Fred Blair and Ken Aaron, I think, have some expertise with, network engineering to see if they can assist us in solving the problem on the network that has continued here and I think had an impact. I don't know if people are aware, but we were off the air for an hour last night right after Roy of Hollywood came on with something's happening. It went silent and was I was silent until after 1 o'clock in the morning, and then it came back on, and apparently it was a problem with the computer because it's a pre-recorded show, and Mark Maxwell was able to access it remotely and get it running again, but it has something to do with the problem on the network that we're having. So my understanding is that the phones are not quite yet fixed, because even though the parts were repaired and the connections were made properly, there's still a network issue that is putting the wrong IP address that one of the phones is supposed to connect to. So we're working on trying to fix that. The cost was relatively minimal, if that's all that's involved. It was in the $300 range, I think. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael. We're done with this agenda item. It is now 8:38 p.m. And the next thing is...
Madam Chair,
I'm going to give
Chair,
the...
point of information. Bella,
go ahead, Bella. What is it?
Yes,
Bella.
You are quoting an Eastern time, and we are in Pacific time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's confusing. It's confusing for the audio stream.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael Heiss, what time is it now in Los Angeles?
It is 5:38 and 7 seconds.
Okay, thank you, Michael. All right. The next thing is I'm going to give the floor to Beth. We need to sort out the election for permanent chair. Beth, you there?
Yes, I just had to get to where I could unmute. I just emailed a motion. Motion regarding an election to fill the position of KPFK Finance Committee Chair. I'll read it. Moved that an election to fill the position of KPFK Finance Committee Chair shall commence immediately following this Finance Committee meeting using standard Pacifica email election processes consistent with Pacifica bylaws to be conducted by primary Pacifica teller, Mr. Terry Goodman, and his choice of a second known and trusted Pacifica teller with polls to close at midnight at the end of Friday, November 4. I was able to, so that's the end of the motion. I was able to reach Mr. Goodman by phone earlier as the meeting wore on, and he agreed to conduct the meeting. He contacted John Gary for support, and they both settled on the date of Friday, November 4th, because they're both available in that time frame. This, I should note that adopting this motion would mean that it would be ratified at a future meeting of this committee, and would take effect then. And either we can ratify it at the next regular meeting, or at any special meeting the committee chooses to call. So, I move that we. I move this motion as I've just read it, and it, you should all have it in your inboxes now. I emailed it to everyone, I think everyone on the committee, as well as the LSB chair. Didn't get it, let me know, please.
Okay, let's give this agenda item 10 minutes.
Yes, Vanessa, I'm here.
Okay, let's give this agenda item 10 minutes, Michael. All right. Is there any discussion about this agenda item? Which is to basically have an email election for a permanent chair for this committee.
So we're going to have an election after we read this email from Beth. Is that correct?
We're going to have nominations. If this motion passes, we'll take nominations for the chair position, and then we'll all get an email with a ballot, and the tellers, Terry Goodman and John Gary, will tally the ballots, and we'll have a new chair.
Okay, thank you.
And, it should be noted that this chair position will probably change when new officers are elected in December, mid-December, at the LSB level. Actually, that's not true. That's for the committee chair. So there's a possibility that there'll be a change when there's possibly a new treasurer elected by the local station board. At any rate, any discussion about Beth's motion?
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto.
Go ahead.
So I heard Friday, November 4th. Is that the day for the ballots to be turned in, midnight?
Yes.
Beth? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I had initially suggested maybe at the end of this week, but that didn't work out with their timing. So this is what they've suggested. I didn't stipulate a time at which the ballots would be sent out, but the motion says that the shall commence immediately following this Finance Committee meeting. I will leave that up to Terry and John. They're good at this. They have those processes down. So what would happen next, they need to be provided with our confirmed list of membership and the nominees. And then we would receive their ballots with the instructions, just as we do for all the other elections.
Right.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. Is there any objection to this motion and process?
Well, I have a comment, if I might, please.
Go ahead, Michael.
The question and comment is, the polls close at the end of Friday, November 4th, but then when do the results get announced? Presumably at the next meeting, which would be at the end of the month. And since, if I understand what we did at the beginning of this meeting, as pro tem, your tenure as such expires at the conclusion of this meeting. So who watches the store between the Saturday, November 5th, and the next meeting? That would seem to leave a hole in the operation of this committee, and goodness knows this isn't the time to have, you know, nobody helming the ship.
Well, presumably, go ahead, Beth. Go ahead.
Well, the election results are usually announced the day following or possibly 2 days following if it gets complicated, the close of the poll. So we would know by, my best guess is November 4th or 5th. Excuse me, 5th or 6th. So we would have a result then. And if the committee chose to, they could convene then to receive and ratify it for, you know, where there's nothing on the agenda but that. Or we could choose to do that rather than have a special meeting. We could choose to convene at our regular time next month. A couple other possibilities are to vote to extend the term of the pro tem chair. Cover the time between the end of this meeting and the ratification of the results of this election. And I would point out that the person, one of the people who has been nominated, will be nominated for this position, is now the treasurer, and so will be continuing to act as the treasurer in the interim.
Point of order.
Okay. Do you want to add that wording to your motion that the pro tem chair will continue until replaced?
Yes.
Grace,
I'm
can
doing
I make...
that now.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Can we have a discussion amongst people to get an idea who would like to be chairman of this committee?
Yeah, as soon as this is accepted, we'll have nominations. We'll open up nominations, okay?
Well, I know that's nominations, but I don't want to nominate somebody that doesn't want to do it. So it would be nice to hear people that are interested in being chairman of this committee.
Okay, so let's first finish
up. Is there anybody
this process? Okay, listen,
chairman.
Steve, let's take that up first things first, okay?
Okay.
All right. So is there any objection to this motion as amended? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to nominations. Steve, go ahead, state what you want to state before we go into nominations.
Who wants to be chairman of this committee? Now, Grace, do you want to do this also in being treasurer? Is that what I understand? You're the only person we know who wants to be chairman of this committee at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. I think Bella DeSoto wants to be chair of this committee.
All right, what about
as Kim? Well? Pardon me?
What about Kim Kaufman? Kim, you still there? No answer.
Well, okay. She resigned early in the beginning of this meeting, so I don't know if she wants to be chair of this committee or not.
Okay.
You can certainly nominate her.
I was muted. I had my hands full. No, I resigned, Stephen. No, I don't want to do it. Thank you.
Okay.
Could Fred be
all right? How about you, Steve? Would you like to be chair of this committee? Yeah.
Who?
One. You. Would you like to
Who?
Be?
Steve.
Would you
Steve
like
Kaiser?
To be chair? Yes, you, Steve Kaiser.
No, dear. I don't think I would have the patience for it, and I don't think I'd be of sufficient help. I just did my Dark Side of the Moon report.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to point out to the body and you, Madam Chair, that we have an agenda
that was interrupted, of unfinished business, several items that was interrupted by this very item that was then inserted as an amendment to the agenda. So I would like us to be prudent about that.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I know that. I'm aware of that. Okay, so now we're going to open up the floor for nominations for the permanent chair position. Who would like to nominate someone for this position?
Beth nominates Grace.
Okay, I accept.
Until December, right?
Yes. Okay, so I accept that nomination. Anyone else? Would anyone else like to nominate somebody for the chair position?
Could Fred say a word?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred. I forgot about you. Go ahead.
It's actually not until December. It's until replaced by the LSB when they elect new officers. The other thing I'd like to say is that it's not who would like to be a member, chair of the committee. It's who's appropriate to be chair of the committee, because the treasurer who serves on the National Finance Committee is privy to information that we don't get here at the LSB level until provided by the NFC. So the chair is privy to information that we need to talk about. And so I think the treasurer is really the person who's most appropriate to be the chair of this committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Anyone else want to nominate somebody for this position?
Yes,
go ahead, Bella.
I have tried three times to nominate myself. Bella DeSoto will nominate herself for chair.
Okay. Very good. Any other nominations for the chair of this committee?
Doug here.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Under Robert's rules, the structure is such that the chair has the littlest to say and can't submit motions. Given that, I have no one to nominate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doug. Anyone else care to nominate somebody for the position of chair of the KPFK Finance Committee? Going once, going twice. Okay, the nominees are Grace Aaron and Bella DeSoto. You'll be getting your ballots soon. All right, it's now 5:51 p.m. We'll continue with the agenda.
This is Beth.
Did you want to say something?
Briefly. Yes, just to report that I just emailed the amendment regarding the position of chair pro tem being extended until the ratification of this result, this election result.
Okay, thank you. All right. So let's see what's the next. Now we have unfinished business. All right. The first order of unfinished business is from Bella DeSoto. Move that the KPFK Finance Committee opens its monthly meetings to Zoom conferencing starting in June 2022, that either Pacifica Foundation subscribe to a Zoom account, but until then, either Michael Novick, Janine Roan, or Bella DeSoto's Zoom account, whereas we must have the visual benefit during these meetings. Okay. All right, so let's open up a discussion about this.
Madam Chair. Point of order.
Okay.
Point of order, Kim. We were going to take up the minutes, I believe.
Okay, I said at the bottom of this agenda, there's quite a bit to go before we get to the end of the agenda. Okay, so we're going to continue with the unfinished business.
Madam Chair, can you read? Madam Chair,
yeah.
Bella DeSoto.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead, Bella.
Can you?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Can you read the full motion, please?
I just did.
You stopped at moved that the Finance Committee urges the LSB,
Did you put forward a different motion?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, so let's open up a discussion. Maestro resume. Let's discuss this. Who would like to be on the stack?
Bella DeSoto.
Fred.
Jonathan.
Okay.
Bell.
Okay.
Canine.
Bell. Okay, wait a second. Bella.
Fred.
Fred.
Sue.
Janine. Beth.
Can I have a word?
And who
Jonathan.
Was that? Who was that
Angel
other person?
Harmonio.
Oh, Angel, are you a public person?
No. Yes, but I want to make sure that my name is added to the
okay.
recorded as a...
Oh, okay. You want to be recorded as being present? Okay.
Yes. Membership. Yeah.
Jonathan Stack.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Angel.
Jonathan Stack.
Okay.
Jonathan Stack. Thank
right.
you.
Okay, let's... we'll take more people for the stack in a little while. Let's give this item 12 minutes, Michael, okay?
Yeah, I accept that we've only got 6 minutes left in the meeting.
Okay, so...
Move to extend 15 minutes, Madam Chair, Bella.
Okay, is there any objections?
I object.
Okay. All right, we're going to have
second.
To...
It was second by Sue.
Okay, that's fine. We're going to have to take a vote then on extending. But let's... let's take a vote on extending time. It takes a two-thirds vote. So Bella wants to extend time 15 minutes. That would end the meeting at about 6:10 or so. Let's say 6:10. Here we go. Ken Aaron's not here. Doug Barnett, are you in favor of extending for 15 minutes? Fred Blair?
No.
Okay. Sue Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Jan McCrory?
No.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Okay. Raymond Goldstone?
No.
Okay. Michael Heiss?
No.
All right. Dave Johnson?
Dave votes no.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
Yes.
All right. Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Okay. Jonathan Markowitz?
Yes.
Okay. King Riley? Lawrence Reyes, Janine Roan.
She means yes.
Okay. Ruth Strauss.
Abstain.
Okay. Stefan Gunton.
No.
Okay. John Wenger.
No.
All right. Doug Barnett. Okay. And, Gray Sarin abstains. We have, this doesn't make it. We have 5 yeses. And we have 6, 7 noes. And we
you forgot to call on me. You forgot to call on me. This is Kim.
Yeah. Sorry. Kim, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. So we have 3 abstentions. This motion to extend fails. We're almost out of time. We have 2 minutes. So we'll have
can
to
go for the
take
roll
up
call, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, can we go for a roll vote on the Zoom issue?
We can adjourn. Okay. All right. Is there a motion
point
to adjourn? A motion to adjourn is not debatable. It takes precedence over all other motions. It has to be dealt with when it comes up. There's no objection acceptable.
Point of information, Jonathan.
No points of information. We must vote on adjourning. Is there any objection to adjourning? We'll take a vote. There's a motion on the floor to adjourn. That's fine.
Doug Barnett, yes or no on to adjourning? Fred Blair?
He already voted no.
No, he did not vote no. Fred, would you like to adjourn? There's
yes.
a motion on the floor to adjourn this meeting.
Yes.
Good. Sue Johnson, yes or no?
No.
Okay,
no.
Dan McCrory? Dan McCrory? Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
No,
adjourn? No, excuse me, no.
Okay, Raymond Goldstone?
Yes.
Okay, Michael Heiss?
Yes, adjourn.
Okay, Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson votes yes.
Okay, Steve Kaiser?
No.
All right, Kim Kaufman?
Abstain.
Okay. Jonathan Markowitz?
No.
All right. King Riley? No longer here. Lawrence Reyes? Janine Roan? Janine
no.
Roan? Okay. Ruth Strauss?
Abstain.
Okay. Beth Von Gunten?
Yes.
Okay. John Wenger?
Yes.
Okay. Going back. Doug Barnett? Okay, let me count up the votes so far. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And no's are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so... And Grace Aaron abstains. So this motion passes. We are now adjourned. This motion will be taken up in the next meeting.